Since the dawn of the 21st century, scientific discovery has rushed forward at lightning speed. Genetics, physics, computerized technologies, robotics, virtual reality. Join Derek and Sharon Gilbert as they uncover the truths behind this ultimate scientific deception. Get ready for Sci Friday.
Someone doesn't have to weaponize the bird flu. The birds are doing that. We call it
science!
Welcome to Sci Friday from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert. Joining us, our science advisor, my best friend, the author of the Red Wing Saga, now in its fourth book, Sharon K. Gilbert.
Hi, sweetie. How
are
you?
Hi, love.
I'm writing book 5 right now.
Excellent.
And there is no bird flu in there. However, there are other diseases in there. Ah, yeah.
Well, that line
is from Contagion.
A movie put out in 2011, directed by Steven Soderbergh. Lawrence Fishburne was the character, Dr. Alice Cheever, character played by Lawrence Fishburne, issued that line or spoke that line in the film.
It was an interesting line. It makes it sound like the birds are, you know.
Yeah, it's a kind of an update
plotting.
On Hitchcock.
Which sort of leads into the Red Wing Saga because there are evil birds in that too. So who knows what they're up to?
You can't trust them. Although I'd still take a bird over a cat any day. That's just my preference.
Well, yeah, but the cats would take care of the birds for you.
They would. It's something that is top of mind as we look around the world. And this is something you've been tracking for quite some time, looking at emerging diseases. We talked last week about
H7N9,
the avian
and disease
flu,
X.
And disease X. Dr. Henry Nyman of Recombinomics, who's been looking at things like this for a long time. But there was a story that came up on foreign policy just within the last few days. And I look at foreign policy. It's owned by the company that used to own the Washington Post before they sold it off to the owner of Amazon.
Right.
And it's a good read on what, well, let's just say it, the deep state thinks about foreign policy.
It is, and it's often politically slanted.
That's why, because it represents the viewpoint of the deep state. That's why I read it.
Yeah.
One of the points I made in yesterday's 5 and 10 is that they are critical of President Trump's decision to stop the military exercises with South Korea, even though the South Koreans are in favor of it, because it's not what the deep state wants. They want American empire.
No.
So anyway, that's why I read foreign policy, even though I disagree with a lot of what I read there. It's important to know what they think.
Oh, I agree.
But there's a columnist who writes for foreign policy regularly, Lori Garrett, who is an infectious disease expert, and she was a scientific consultant.
She wrote a book called The Coming Pandemic, amongst others.
Okay, all right. Well, she was hired as a consultant.
The Coming Plague.
Okay, she served as a consultant, a medical or scientific consultant on the film that we quoted from
Contagion.
Because
she wrote that book, that's why they hired her.
Right, right. And the disease that she wrote about was back in the news because of an outbreak of a disease I had never heard of before in India that apparently was causing some concern.
The Nipah virus. It emerged in 1999, I think, or in the 90s. I think it was 99. And essentially, the natural reservoir for the virus is a type of bat, and it's often called a flying fox, but it's a bat. And they love to eat fruit and hang out in date palm trees. And the farmers who either harvest the sap from date palms or sort of herd their pigs, their flocks and herds around date palms in India and in the eastern countries, there's a specific region that you see this disease outbreak in, they are more prone to get it. And sometimes they catch it from eating the sap. Sometimes they catch it from touching the guano, the bat excrement that's on or around the trees. Sometimes they catch it from their pigs. Sometimes you catch it from other humans. In fact, one of the articles that I read about it, not only the original outbreak, but the one since that just recently happened, and by the way, that outbreak is now ended, we're told, that the hospital workers, the healthcare workers, were the most at risk. Therefore, it is highly infectious from person to person, unlike some diseases like H7N9. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to catch. But contagion postulated the idea, what if someone took Nipah virus and bred it, hybridized it with avian flu, H5N1.
Recombined the DNA.
Mm-hmm.
to make it more transmissible?
To make it worse, because H5N1 infects the lungs, mm-hmm. and primarily the lungs, but Nipah is neurological. It will cause encephalitis and other neurological diseases. It does have a lung component, but the big killer is that your neurological system just shuts down.
Hmm. So this this article by Lori Garrett, mm-hmm. Was talking about discussing panic in India, although as you found it when you researched it, the outbreak had already pretty much passed.
Well, the article's from June 3rd, so she was reflecting on things that had happened in the previous week or so. And at the time, there was panic going on in India because the word had been spread that you could catch the disease from, and I think all in total, 16 people died.
Hmm.
But the word was that you could catch the disease from eating fruit. So the local fruit vendors in the streets were going out of business because nobody would buy their fruit. Dr. Lori Garrett's belief, and she says it in the article, and in fact many from the Indian government were saying the same thing, that you cannot, all caps, cannot catch it from fruit. But I guess I'm sort of wondering, can you prove that you cannot catch it from fruit? Because, and it's difficult to prove a negative.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can catch it from the date palm sap?
Well, that was a question I was going to make a note here about that, to ask you about that. How does that work? What's that vector?
Well, I assume it has to do with the puncturing of the tree that may be covered in excrement, therefore covered in the virus.
Mm-hmm.
When you puncture the tree, the virus can, along with the sap, go into your bucket.
Okay.
That would be my guess.
So they're collecting sap the way mm-hmm. we would collect the sap from maple trees for
right.
maple syrup. And then it's getting contaminated somehow with the bats. This doesn't have to do with the bats eating stuff in the tree and it infecting the sap.
I don't think so, but if you pick fruit from the tree, dates,
mm-hmm.
Or if they're hanging from other trees, date palms may not be their only, you know, food source, being fruit bats. If you don't wash it thoroughly, I suppose the risk is there. So you just have to wonder, how do they know for sure?
Yeah.
Maybe it was just being a little bit wise to be cautious.
Sure, sure. Well,
but she trumpets it, saying, and here's the headline, India is panicking about a virus passed by bat poop. That's really scientific, isn't it?
Well, it gets you to click on the story. What's that story about?
I think it's a great headline, but the sad truth is that Nipah virus is a terrible disease.
Mm-hmm.
It does kill people. It, at the very least, can leave you debilitated because it affects the neurological system. And speaking of long-term debilitation, the word is that the Ebola outbreak in Congo is now over. And it's being trumpeted as a great victory for vaccines because it was an experimental vaccine that was used amongst all of the people that they were thought were most at risk. Excuse me. And so the scientists involved are now saying we stopped it because of the vaccination program. That may or may not be true. They don't know that. But they do know that the Ebola virus can remain in semen
mm-hmm.
for up to 2 years, as long as 2 years. And the reason I'm saying 2 years is because that's as long as they've tracked it. Scientists have only been tracking the presence of the virus in semen for 2 years.
Yeah, they only realized 2 years ago that it might persist in body fluids of survivors.
Exactly.
Long
it was in
past.
2015, 2016, they started to notice that it was being sexually transmitted, so they started taking a look at sexual fluids and specifically at semen, and sure enough, it exists in semen. It's still hardy, and it can be transmitted 2 years later.
So you could have another outbreak flare up because of somebody who recovered, gets into a relationship, gets intimate with somebody who was not previously exposed, and then suddenly you've got another case.
Yes, and it also remains in eye fluids.
Uh-huh.
It may remain in neurological tissues. There are viruses that are well known, chickenpox being one of them, that they linger in your body tissues. They sort of hide. They go into occultation, and they just lie low for a while. And I'll be back one of these days, and when I come back, you're going to be sorry.
Like the 12th Imam.
Very much like that. Very much like that. Well, we're waiting for the emergence of the virus. We know it's going to come out. And they usually wait. They're opportunistic in nature. They wait until your defenses are down, until you get older, until you get sick, until you're tired, your nutrition is poor. And then they emerge and they just knock you down.
And that may have something to do with how deadly Ebola is in the places where it's been, where it is traditionally found. Central yeah. Africa, Western Africa, which was the first time it had been seen there
yes.
back in 2014.
Yes, even Western Africa is still not nearly as civilized as most first world nations.
Right,
are.
People don't get the kind of nutrition that we normally do here. So no. It's not as deadly here, but it's still a vicious disease. And if it can persist that long, I think the question in my mind is, are the people who were exposed, who wound up here in the United States, still being tracked, and how careful are they with the contact they have with other people?
That's a really good question. And I think another question that needs to be answered is it because of your poor physical state in the first place mm-hmm. that the virus is not completely eradicated? What
right.
what is it that causes the virus to completely disappear, if
right.
indeed it does?
Yeah.
Those are really important questions. And I know that scientists are looking at this for a number of reasons, and one of those has to do with the presence of amyloid fibers in semen, in testes.
What's an amyloid?
Amyloid fiber is a protein component within the male body that helps to select for the best sperm.
Oh, okay.
It destroys all poor swimmers.
Gotcha, okay.
Essentially. So those fibers have been found to be involved in the eradication or augmentation of certain viruses. They can actually make it easier for a virus to infect a cell.
Hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Because here's what it is. Think of them as a posse that goes and they arrest the poor swimmers and they mm-hmm. take them over to the macrophages and say, here's a poor swimmer, take care of him, eat him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what happens.
Okay.
And that happens, that occurs in the woman's body.
Hmm. Interesting.
So the amyloid fibers are released along in the semen and they take care of the poor swimmers and have the woman's body macrophages eat them up.
Huh. Sort of like an organic quality control. This one is not up to
this
spec.
This one isn't
so.
Up to snuff. We don't want this one making it up there.
Right,
just
right.
take him out because he's no good. And it may be more than just poor swimmers. It may be that there's some signal on the external part of the cell that tells these fat fibers, you know what, I can connect to you because you've got a defect.
Hmm.
Yeah,
what
it's a wonderful design, isn't
design
it?
Design is the key word there. Yeah.
It is design, but those
wow.
same fibers can actually help the infection of a cell by a virus.
Huh. Now, how does that work?
Well, the virus somehow, like a macrophage, mm-hmm. notices that this virus has been arrested, and somehow it gets into an actual host cell instead of the macrophage coming
destroying
in.
Destroying it.
Destroying it.
Huh.
And this is brand new discoveries.
Wow.
So this is very cutting edge. And it's been part of the HIV studies.
Hmm.
Because scientists have been trying to figure out for years why some people are able to contract the virus and not get sick.
Wow. Yeah. It's like there's a war going on at the cellular level.
At the subatomic level, there's a war going on, that's for certain, but it sort of ratchets up through the various levels of reality.
Huh.
I think the design that the Lord has created is so incredible and so complicated, and we are grasping at straws trying to figure it out, and it's much like those blind men in the elephant. Hey,
yeah.
This thing back here feels just like a snake. I'm pretty sure that this is a snake.
Mm-hmm.
So let's all get our anti-snake stuff, and we'll take it down with the anti-snake killers. But it turns out that the anti-snake killers aren't doing any good because all they've done is just chop off the tail.
Yeah.
The elephant's still there.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk a bit more about some other things that we're doing that we think will help us protect against disease, which might actually be making things worse, talking about triclosan.
Oh, yeah.
And why cholera is still with us. I mean, you know, there are some diseases that we tend to forget about because they've been with us a long time, and so mm-hmm. we just don't pay that much attention. Also, got to tell you about the Defender Bible and how you can still get the expanded Apocrypha from Defender Publishing, all that and more when SkyWatch TV Sci-Friday returns from SkyWatch TV. Gosh, break. All that and more when Sci-Friday returns after this.
It's here. Realms of Stone, Book 4 of the Red Ring Saga by Sharon K. Gilbert. This bundle, yours for a donation of just $50. Call 844-750-4985 or log on to SkyWatchTVStore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, many of you know by now that we are hosting another True Legends Conference this September at the Mansion Theater in Branson, Missouri. Today, we're excited to announce that live streaming for this event is now available on gen6.com. Last year's True Legends Conference was an incredibly powerful event. All of our speakers delivered compelling presentations on a range of topics dealing with the Genesis 6 narrative. Many of the people who joined us in Branson or live streamed online said this was the best conference they'd ever experienced. We received testimonies from people all over the world whose lives were profoundly touched by this event.
This year, Gen 6 Productions, SkyWatch TV, and InfoWars are joining forces against the technocratic elite and their Luciferian agenda. Steve Quayle, Tom Horn, David Knight, Hugo de Garis, and myself, among other dynamic speakers, will be addressing the rise of transhumanism and the hybrid age. We are living in a pivotal moment in history. The imminent convergence of emergent technologies in the fields of genetics, robotics, artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, and cybernetics is about to revolutionize every facet of human society and fundamentally redefine what it means to be human. The stakes could not be higher. It is imperative that we comprehend the prophetic implications of what is about to happen to the human race on planet Earth.
True Legends, the conference 2018 will be taking place from the 14th through the 16th of September at the Mansion Theater in Branson, Missouri. Seating is limited and the venue is almost sold out, but you can watch the conference live online from the comfort of your own home by purchasing a live streaming ticket on gen6.com.
Don't miss the opportunity to be a part of this extraordinary event. Go to gen6.com today and join the resistance. Purchase your live streaming ticket today and watch every session from last year's conference for free on gen6.com.
The Remarkable Life Journey of Beth Pears, plus a journal to record your own journey. Yours free with a donation of any size during the month of June. Call 844-750-4985 or log on to SkyWatchTVStore.com.
Welcome back to Sci-Friday from SkyWatch TV. The Defender Bible, we had such an overwhelming response to that it sold out. It was a limited print run.
We warned people up front. We've only ordered so many of these, and we thought we'd ordered plenty to get through but sadly, it's gone.
Yeah, it was a much stronger response than we thought. But there is an alternative. If you're still interested in getting the expanded Apocrypha, which is the Apocrypha that was part of the King James 1611 edition, still, some Bibles contain the apocryphal books. This is the expanded Apocrypha that was in the Defender Bible. It includes the books of Enoch, Jasher, and Jubilees. This, along with the original part of the package, the Donna Howell collection.
You get that free.
Yeah, essentially by buying the Donna Howell collection, which includes her latest book, The Handmaiden's Conspiracy, plus Radicals, Final Fire, and her very important Redeemed Unredeemable, for a donation of just $29.95, you get this along with it. And these are in stock. Got plenty of these, so these can ship right away. So if you're still interested in the expanded Apocrypha, don't despair. You still have that option. Volume 1 of the Researcher's Library of Ancient Texts is the expanded Apocrypha, including Enoch, Jubilees, and Jasher. And you can get that along with Donna Howell books for just your donation of just $29.95.
That's a really good deal. That is
now
a really good deal.
The package on the...
Oh, by the way, this stack, in case you're wondering...
Why that's there.
This stack is the Red Wing Saga package.
Yes.
Yes. It's a crazy deal, just like, you know, Tom Horn, how he is. Well, you can get the first four books, and I don't have the fourth book up here, actually.
I had a fourth one there for you to sign, and we moved it off. It's over there.
Well, I'll tell you what. No, don't move, because you're... But the fourth, you get all four books. That's Blood Lies, Blood Rights, The Blood is the Life, and Realms of Stone. You get the first four books, plus Derek's two books, The Great Inception and The Day the Earth Stands Still, and Sci Friday, best of.
Yeah.
Where my hair's still dark. This is a collector's item. Trust me on this. We are not releasing this again. When these are gone, they're gone. You get them all for a donation of only $50.
That's right.
That's great. That's six books and a DVD. Mm-hmm. This DVD alone retails for $25.
Right. So, again, you'll find all of those at the Skywatch TV store. That's online at skywatchtvstore.com.
And by the way, the reason the book was up here for me to sign is because I will sign them. All you have to do is ask.
Yeah, ask the folks in the store, and Sharon will
do it. Well, back to things like cholera and diseases that are out there, things that go bump in the night. Cholera has been ignored lately, even though hundreds of thousands of people have been sick in Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's in Congo.
It's spread to Congo just got past Ebola.
Cholera, did you know that during World War II, Japan experimented with by throwing cholera infected water into wells in China?
I did not know that.
They did indeed, and they ended up infecting their own troops.
Hmm.
So you have to get way far away from the area you're infecting because it gets into the groundwater and into the sewage system and can easily be passed from person to person because it's passed by what's called the fecal-oral route.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not very judicious about washing your hands all the time, and who in a war area can be.
You've got other issues on your mind. Well, this is another area where this has really been top of mind is in Haiti. They had that devastating earthquake back in 2010, and then sadly, it appears a group of UN peacekeepers from Nepal brought it with them, and the outbreak has ran for like 7 years.
It's continuing to go. This is what's called the seventh outbreak or the seventh pandemic of cholera since it was discovered in the 19th century.
Yeah.
Cholera is very dangerous, and it can kill you so easily, especially if, again, it's opportunistic in that if you have poor nutrition, if you are underweight, if you are in a field of battle, if for any reason you cannot endure several days of really, really terrible, dangerous diarrhea, you will die.
Mm-hmm. And it has killed almost 10,000 in Haiti. The outbreak in Yemen as of last fall had killed...
It was over a million people who had been infected. I'm not really sure how many had died of that, but way too many because it is generally treated with antibiotics, but they didn't have that many because it's a war-torn area.
Yeah, exactly. Several hundred thousand people infected in Haiti. The outbreak in Yemen is still continuing. The outbreak in Haiti, they're considering passed as they've finally gotten a handle on the sanitation situation,
These are regional outbreaks of what's still called the seventh pandemic, and that pandemic's been going on for decades. And it's not going away. Cholera is still going to be in areas and easily carried on a plane. Again, if you're not washing your hands well, if it's somehow on your clothes, you have to be so careful because it's very easy to carry it. And if you're sick, you're going to get very, very sick.
Mm. And, you know, of course, we will try to prevent the spread of disease here, especially during flu season. It becomes a little more top of mind, cold and flu season, by using hand sanitizers. And which you can find, you know, little bottles for a buck at the dollar store. So, you know,
and it sounds like a great idea.
It sounds like a wonderful idea.
It's got the word sanitizer in the name.
It's got alcohol in it, and we know alcohol kills stuff, so that must be good, right?
But it doesn't kill everything.
Ah.
And the other thing, and one of the other ingredients that has now become illegal
in
hand sanitizer is triclosan. But it is not necessarily illegal yet in the thousands of other products that include it. And we're talking about assembly line belts that have triclosan on them, trash can liners that have triclosan in them, mouthwash, toothpaste, makeup, teething products for babies.
Yeah.
Water sometimes has it in it because it is an antibacterial agent.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to keep things fresher, keep them from becoming infected, keep you from getting sick. The problem is that it is our it's changing what's called the microbiome in our gastrointestinal tract. And it's causing, frankly, it's causing irritable bowel syndrome in some people. And recently in mice, it was shown to coat. After only 3 weeks of being exposed to the same levels that you and I would have after brushing our teeth with triclosan toothpaste for 3 weeks, they got a swollen colon. Their colon became infected and or swelled, and they became very ill because it's altering the microbiome. This is an antibiotic agent that not only changes you, the person consuming it, but because you excrete it into the sewer system,
right.
It eventually gets into the sewer, it gets into the groundwater. And did you know, by the way, that there are sewage byproducts that are sprayed onto agricultural fields?
Right, so the triclosan is then entering the food cycle because it's being sprayed.
It's been found in tomatoes, it's been found in, I don't think it's been found in corn, soybeans, which is in a lot of products.
Yeah, they found it in, and this is almost 15 years ago, 75% of the United States population is carrying around triclosan in detectable amounts. It's found in household dust, in our streams and rivers. Again, these unintended consequences with...
increasing the shelf life of something in some cases.
They're becoming resistant to antibacterial drugs.
It is. It's helping to cause, like MRSA, which is methicillin-resistant, Staphylococcus aureus.
Mm-hmm.
aureus. There are other antibiotics like vancomycin that many are becoming resistant to. This triclosan is arming our enemy, the bacteria out there that want to kill us. It's arming them to be stronger.
So, the FDA did ban triclosan in 2016 in hand and body washes. They said that there's not enough evidence that triclosan is safe to use or that it was any better than just using soap and water.
Well, that's the most recent finding is even, just forget triclosan for a minute. The fact is that hand sanitizers don't work as well as using soap and water. In fact, Nipah virus and many other viruses do better if you just use soap and water.
Well, once triclosan was banned, hand sanitizer now is basically a solution with alcohol. In it, but even that is not as effective as just using soap and water.
No, the alcohol has been in there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure why they added the triclosan unless whoever makes it said, hey, let's put it in there too. But I highly recommend finding another way. If you are a parent and you want to make sure that you can clean your children, clean their hands, just carry a Ziploc bag or some kind of a little baggie with soap and water, washcloth inside of it.
And again, this is a frightening thing, is that while it's been banned from hand cleansers, it has not yet been banned from toothpaste by the FDA, which doesn't make any sense.
So good old baking soda.
Yeah. Well, maybe our grandparents were onto something.
They were.
Smarter. They keep getting smarter.
I know.
Well, we thank you for watching as we keep watch with Sharon K. Gilbert. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is Sci Friday from SkyWatch TV.